Your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now I'm going to ask a question as we get started tonight. What do you think God's will is for you personally? What is His will for you? Okay, the Great Commission. What is God's will for you? Anybody else? To praise His name. Okay. Anybody else? What is God's will for you?
To give glory to Him.
To give glory to Him. Amen. Well, we're going to actually look at that tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, if you have your Bibles with me. Let me back up to 16 and 17 because they're important. Be joyful always, pray continually. Now, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. There it is, in Christ Jesus. That's God's will for you and for me. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. So how would you put out the Spirit's fire? It goes back to the verse before. By not giving thanks in all circumstances. Dear Lord, I pray that You'll take this word and make it come alive in all of us. Thank You, Lord, that You are the giver of all good things. And we can praise You in any circumstance, in any situation. We will give You thanks, Lord, always. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into the thanks part of this, I want to go through three things that I believe, according to Scripture, that robs us from being thankful people. Three Thanksgiving robbers. The first is pride. Pride tends to take away our giving thanks because, first of all, we think I have what I have because I deserve it. And so if you have what you have because you think you deserve it, then who are you going to give thanks to? There's no reason to give thanks. Some think I have what I have because I earned it. So if you earned it, who are you going to give thanks to? Both of those have something to do with not God and with self. Right? So basically, you either give God thanks or you give yourself thanks. I guess that's where the term pat yourself on the back comes from. But look at what 2 Chronicles says, chapter 26, verse 16. King Uzziah, by the way, was a really good king up to a point until he got his eyes off of God. But after Uzziah became powerful, his what? Pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, we know that even if you're king, you can't go in to the holy place and burn incense. Only the priests can do that. But Uzziah said, no, I'm king, I'll go where I want to go, and I'll do what I want to do. And guess what happened? God said, all right. You know, big guy, you think you've got it all? I take my hand off of you. And his kingdom went down immediately. That's pride, and it robs us of being able to give thanks to God. I think the second robber is a critical spirit. You see, it's easy for anybody to start having a critical spirit when they start taking their eyes off of the Lord and putting it on people around them and even on themselves. Critical spirit is seeing things from a selfish perspective. Well, I didn't like the way they did that, so I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to be a part of it. I don't like what so-and-so said, so I'm not going to be around them. I don't, and it's all about I don't want to. It's complaining about everything. Have you ever known anybody, you know, somebody that they complain about everything? You know, it's like the guy who was a chronic worrier. He worried about everything. And one morning he woke up and he's laying in bed and he couldn't think of anything to worry about, and that worried him. So, you know, in the same way, complainers, they got to find something to complain about. A critical spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Everything. Not most things, not, you know, 50-50. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Why? Because what good is grumbling and arguing going to do about anything? Have you ever been through an argument that when you finished it, you felt so much better? No. It always tears down. It doesn't build up. It robs you of being able to be thankful. I think the third thing that robs us is ungratefulness. You see, we take God's blessings as no big deal. Stop and think about it, folks. Even though we've been through a horrible year, even though there's a pandemic still going on, even though you're not able to do as many things as you used to be able to do, think about most of the world where they are. They've never been able to do the things we can still do. And we're so ungrateful. And we take God's blessings as no big deal. We deserve them, evidently, because we're Americans. No. Ungratefulness doesn't recognize His blessings. We think, hey, we have what we have because we got it. We did it. This is an interesting passage in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now this is when the Israelites had been rescued from Egypt by the hand of God, and Moses was leading them through the wilderness. Now the people complained about the hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when He heard them, His anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And when the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. At no cost? I think it was at a cost, their freedom. Also, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. To me, that sounds a little bit ungrateful. I mean, you are in the desert. There isn't any crops. But you have food every single day that you didn't have to do anything for. All you got to do is pick it up and eat it. But they're so ungrateful. And aren't we just like that sometimes? God gives us and gives us and gives us. And if something doesn't fit the way that we think it ought to, we become very ungrateful. These, I think, are three things that robs us of being able to do the will of God. Pride, a critical spirit, and ungratefulness. So let's take a look at what the passage here says. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. How do we express thanks? Well, first of all, we need to be able to thank God, first of all, because He is the one who's done everything for us. We ought to say thank you, God, more than we do. Much more than we do. I mean, honestly, if your prayer life was taped and played before God on a regular basis, how often would He hear your voice saying, thank you, God. Thank you. Only you and God know that. But I dare say, ever how much we do say thank you, it's not enough. I have to believe this with all my heart, that God loves to hear His children say thank you. It's kind of like you as a parent. If you have a child and they never say thank you for anything, you kind of wonder, well, what's going on here? But when they do say thank you, doesn't it just makes you feel so awesome. I believe He loves to hear His children say thank you, Lord. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those He redeemed from the land of the foe. I mean, we ought to be praising God and thanking Him and letting other people know that we praise Him and thank Him. Psalm 104, verse 4. He makes winds His messengers, flames of His fire His servants. In other words, God says, I can use anything I need to use to provide for you, to take care of you, to fulfill any need for you. Even the winds and the flames of fire follow His directions. We need to express thanks to God. Not only do we need to say thanks to God, we need to show our thanks to God. Well, how do you show your thanks? I think one of the ways is we need to spend more time with Him. I mean, we all get guilty of becoming busy, and we all have jobs that pull at us, and we all have things that we need to do, and we all seem to have so much on our plate, but by the end of the plate, there's not much left of the day. We just need to spend more time with Him. Honestly, we need to spend all of our time with Him. We can also show thanks by forgiving others in the same way that He has forgiven you. I mean, that's what Scripture says. Forgive as you have been forgiven. So, have you been totally forgiven for all your sins for all time, forever? So how should we forgive? In the same exact way. We also show our thanks by serving Him. I think there's a lot of U-Haul Christians is what I call them. They just tag along. They go wherever the church goes. They go whatever. But, I mean, they're just being pulled along. They're just being pulled along. And if you've ever seen a U-Haul trailer, when you open it, there's nothing on the inside until it's filled up with something. That's a free plug for U-Haul, by the way. No, just kidding. All right. Showing thanks. We share the gospel. I mean, one of the greatest ways we can say thank you to God is do what He's asked us to do, what He's commanded us to do, to share the good news with people around us, to help the hurting, to give our very best to Him, not our leftovers, and to truly praise Him. Praising is a level just above thanks. Thanks is for things that He has done. Praise is for who He is. We can show thanks to God, express thanks to God like that. Thirdly, tonight, I want us to see expansive thanks. In other words, not just stop at that point, but begin to go farther with thanking God. I believe we need to thank God. And again, look at this verse. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. I believe that when we see the blessings of God, we need to immediately thank Him for those blessings. You know, we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, but do we, really? I mean, when's the last time you sat down and started counting your blessings? But we need to do it. We need to count them. And so this is your homework for this week, a challenge this week. Sit down with a legal pad or an illegal pad if you have one. I don't even know why they call it legal pad. A legal pad, and begin to write out the blessings God has given you. You know what will happen if you do that? What will it do? It will begin to focus your heart and your mind on what's really important. Him and what He's done and what He continues to do. And it will absolutely change your demeanor. It will change the day. It will change everything you're doing. So we need to think about the blessings that He has given us. And, by the way, look at this next part of the verse. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. What does all mean? It means all. So even the burdens that we have in our life, we're supposed to thank God for them. It is hard. It's difficult. And it's not natural. But see, we're not supposed to be living in the natural. We're supposed to be living in the supernatural. And so we are to give thanks in all circumstances. How's that possible? When our spirit is replaced by the Holy Spirit, we begin to see things from a spiritual perspective. See, if we dwell in the selfishness of ourselves, everything that happens to us that's not to our liking, we immediately get mad, get angry, get sore, get whatever else, and we don't see any good that could come from it because we're looking at it from a selfish perspective. But we need to realize that in every circumstance, God is at work. You know how I know that? Because God is always at work. God is always trying to perfect His people. God is always trying to hone us into the likeness of His Son. And He's not going to stop. And so when there's things in your life that come up that you don't like, the key is that we ought to be thankful for the not thankful for the circumstance, but in the circumstance. In other words, I'm not thankful for the struggle I'm having to go through, but I'm thankful in the struggle that I have one who can take me right through it. Does that make sense? You see, that's what James says in that passage that we all love to hate. Consider it pure joy. Brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay, so let's stop right there for just a minute. If God is calling you to be thankful in all circumstances, how do you do that? You consider it pure joy whenever you face these trials of many kinds because you know that the testing of your faith produces something. Perseverance. In other words, the ability to be able to go through something you couldn't go through before. You can't go through by yourself. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. You see, the burdens of life are always going to be there. And in fact, God allows many of them to be there for a reason. He's wanting to hone us into the likeness of His Son. So we need to not only thank God for the good things that we see in our life. We need to thank Him for the blessings for sure, but even the burdens in our life, we need to thank Him because He's at work making us more into the likeness of His Son. The last part, I think, is expected thanks. Look again at this passage one more time. Give thanks in all circumstances for what? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, when I was probably 15 years old, at 14, I had committed my life to the ministry. I just believed God had called me into the ministry. And so I made a commitment to that. I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever it is you want me to do, if you want me to do youth, you want me to do music, you want me to do pastor, you want me to be a garbage, pick a janitor in the church, whatever it is, Lord, that's what I want to do because I know if I'm doing what you want me to do, that'll be the best place that I could possibly be. In the midst of that, I didn't realize that there'd be struggles and trials and heartaches. And even when you're doing good things for people, they don't always like it. In fact, they even gripe at you about it. I remember in the very first church that I served, I had had a youth event, and we had an amazing amount of teenagers show up for it, more than they'd ever had before. And we had a number of the kids give their life to Christ that night. The next day, I got a call from one of the deacons of the church telling me how terrible it was that I kept those kids up there till 11 o'clock at night. And that there was one room that wasn't cleaned afterwards. And I thought, amen. You see, it doesn't really matter how bad things might seem or what you're going through. What matters is that it's God's will for us to be thankful. It's the mark of a growing Christian. I tell you what, if you look at somebody, even if they've been in church for 30 or 40 years and they're griping about everything and they can't see the good in anything, guess what? They're not growing in Christ. I don't care how long they've been a Christian. I mean, it just goes against what being a Christian is. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Not in ourselves, because we're not always grateful. We're not always thankful. We can be just as selfish as anybody else if we allow that to happen. So what he asked for us to do is to be thankful in Christ. How do you do that? John chapter 11, verse 41. And so they took away the stone, and when Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Guess what he's talking about? Everybody around knew that Lazarus had died. Everybody knew he was dead because he'd been in there for 4 days, and even if in some way he could come out, he'd stink. Yeah. But Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me." That's all he said. And then he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. Everybody else probably thought, this guy's nuts. Why is he even trying to do this? That guy's dead. I mean, he's dead. It's God's will for us to give thanks. And it's also God's way. You see, if it were not his purpose, then how could we quench the Spirit? That's what it says. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. How would you put out the Spirit's fire? By not giving thanks to God. So we know it's His will. It says, first of all, that it's His will. And then it says, if you don't do it, then you're not doing His will. You're putting out His fire. We quench the Spirit when we're not thankful. God knows our feeble hearts. He knows our selfish ways. So His Spirit is here to help us fix our eyes on Him. And by the way, that's the only way we can be thankful in every circumstance, is to keep our eyes fixed on Him. It said of Joan of Arc that when she was taken and tied to a stake to be burned at the stake, she began singing praises to God and thanking Him for the opportunity of serving Him. Now, that sounds very noble and bold until it's you or me. Right? But she was full of the Lord and full of His thanks. And she knew that if she died at that stake, which she did, it was going to be better for her. Just like Paul says, to be absent from this body is to be present with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to finish up with this passage. Paul says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Now stop there for just a minute. What's he saying? We are made like we are so everybody knows who we are. And the only good thing that could come from us can't come from us. It can only come from God. All right? "We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us. So in other words, we know Jesus died and rose again. And so now we can reveal that through what we do. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. I believe with all my heart that as Paul was writing this portion of the letter to the church at Corinth, he was also thinking back to the day that Gideon was standing there with those few men circled around the mass sea of the foes that they were facing. Just a few men who he asked, don't pick up your sword, don't pick up your spear, just pick up a clay jar, put a torch on the inside, cover it up, and when I tell you, break the pot. Why? So that the light that's on the inside can shine. And that's exactly what they did. And as they lifted those lights up in the middle of the night, surrounding the army, what happened? The army that they were going against got up, realized that they were surrounded, began swinging their swords. They didn't have flashlights. They didn't have light. They began swinging their swords. And the scripture says, by the time the sun came up that next morning, there was not one of them left alive. And these guys are standing there going like, whoa. Now, do you think they got through with that going like, well, God, we did it really well? Or do you think they went, man, I'm so tired standing here all night? You know they were celebrating. Because God did what He said He was going to do. And by the way, He always does. So, can we give thanks to God in every circumstance? Will we give thanks to God in every circumstance? Father, I come to You tonight, and I just pray again that You will help us be thankful. Lord, it's Your will for us in Christ Jesus. It's exactly what You want us to do in every circumstance, to give You praise, to give You thanks. It's Your will. Help us, Lord, to not put out the Spirit's fire. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.